What does the Bible say about changing your life, and what are the biblical principles to do so? Let's talk more about it today.
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of Antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Well, greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we have been talking since last week about changing your life. What does the Bible say about changing your life, and what are the biblical principles that we need to apply to take possession of that newness of life that Jesus has for you and for me? The scripture says that we are a new creation when we come to Christ, and that means that we are to walk in newness of life. But everything in the kingdom, which the Bible promises, we must take possession of by faith. So we're going to talk today about some of these principles by which we take possession of these things that the Bible promises us in order to appropriate them and apply them to our life. The fruit of that will be changes, freedoms from habitual sins, from habits, from unholy behaviors, getting rid of the things that you always thought you had to live with. Wouldn't you like to do that? I'm sure you would. I know I would. I work at it every day, so should you. So what does the Bible tell us? about changing our lives. The first thing we said in our last broadcast was that there must be an application of faith. And faith is an old English word for trust. In other words, we must trust on Christ that He will do it in us and through us. We said in John 15:5, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." So we said the first element or the first ingredient in the recipe for a changed life is that we must apply our faith. We must not just talk about faith, we must talk faith. We must not talk our problem, we must talk the solution, because our words are seeds. And if we keep talking our problem, we keep seeding our problem. And if we believe on our problem, we are putting negative faith in our problem, and we are energizing the continuity of it. We quoted Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Many people don't understand the significance of this verse. Notice what it says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, the tongue has the power to produce death in life. How? Through words. Listen to the second half of that verse. "And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." In other words, the words that come out of your mouth bring forth a fruit. That fruit can be death or life. It can be death to your circumstances or life to your circumstances. Life to your circumstances include change. Notice what it says, "They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." In other words, the words of your mouth bring forth a fruit. Well, I have news for you, my friend. Fruit only comes from seed. Therefore, the words of your mouth are seeds, and they take root in your heart, and they bring forth words from your heart. Scripture says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And it is a self-perpetuating, reseeding mechanism. Genesis says every seed reproduces after its own kind. If you speak positively, positive things happen which give rise to positive confessions, which give rise to positive fruit, which give rise to more positive seed, and it keeps going. Blessings multiply. But fruit only comes from seed, and the seed is the words that come out of your mouth. So watch your words. You can put faith in the negative the way you put faith in the positive. In Luke 17:6 it says, "And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be you plucked up by the root and be you planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Notice what Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in existence. It gives rise to one of the biggest trees in existence. Now, the interesting thing is that the seed contains all that the whole is. All that the mustard tree will ever be is contained in the seed. All of your life is contained in the seeds that you word over it. What will your words be? Jesus said, if you say to the sycamine tree, in other words, you've got to have a faith confession. Be plucked up by the root, be planted in the sea, it should obey you. See, in other words, if you say the right things, your circumstances should obey you, not you, your circumstances. So faith is the ingredient, and faith requires a faith confession. We say faith confession brings possession, huh? So there has to be faith applied, and it doesn't have to be a lot of faith, because to each is given a measure of faith. You don't say, oh, I need more faith. God has already given you a measure, Romans says. Now just apply it and use it. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, that's a tiny amount, God will use it. Now, the point is that you don't need great faith in God to change your circumstances. You need faith in a great God to change your circumstances. God will meet you at your own level of faith. That's the wonderful thing about it. Use your faith right where you are at. God will do the rest. Well, how do you express that faith? Romans 10:8 tells us, "But what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart," that is, the word of faith which we preach. In other words, faith-filled words are right in front of you, in your mouth and in your heart. Speak them. In other words, faith requires a faith confession, and that faith confession brings possession. In Revelations 1:16, speaking of Jesus, it says, "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Now, it does not really say in the original Greek, "out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." In the actual Greek, rather than to use this prosaic license of the King James translators, we go to the original Greek, and instead of saying "out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword," it says "out of his mouth went a double-mouthed sword." A double-mouthed sword. Now, when Jesus speaks, he speaks only rhema, rhema revelation, rhema truth. The word rhema means that which is spoken by the living voice, that is, the voice of the Spirit. It also means the happening, and it also means the speaking thing. Now, hold on to this, folks. This is a real important concept. So, when Jesus speaks, the happening, or the speaking thing, the rhema realization, is in his voice, that which is spoken by the living voice. Jesus spoke the world into existence. In Genesis 1, it says, "And God said, and it was." Well, if God said, he said it from his mouth. And it was. The happening was in the saying. In other words, God rhema'd the creation into existence. So when God speaks to our spirit, Romans 8:16, his spirit witnesses to our spirit, he rhemas to us. And that is the first voice of the double-mouthed sword. And we, in agreement, pray in the Spirit what the Spirit quickens us to pray, and we say it aloud and release it into the atmosphere, which is the second voice of the double-mouthed sword. It all comes from him. It all comes from the Spirit because we are led by the Spirit. And so when we have a faith confession that comes forth through the power of the Spirit in us and through us, and we rhema, we speak faith-filled words, words backed by faith, the happening is in those faith-filled words because those faith-filled words our seed, and they are the seed which is able to change our lives and the lives of others. Why? Because when we speak faith-filled words under the prompting of the Holy Spirit, it is he who has spoken them upon us and in us to quicken us first, the first mouth of the double-mouthed sword. He prompts us to speak it forth, and we speak forth in the Spirit, by the Spirit, what the Spirit shows us. And in so doing, we have become the second mouth of the double-mouthed sword. In other words, when we are in covenant with Christ, out of his mouth comes the double-mouthed sword, because we are the second mouth of that sword, which is the sword of covenant. And when we are prompted by the Spirit to speak forth in the Spirit, by the Spirit, what the Spirit says, then what we are doing is we are speaking and praying a prayer of agreement with the Holy Spirit himself. Now, the rhema, the happening, that which is spoken by the living voice, the speaking thing, comes forth in power because the words that we release, the words of faith of Romans 10:8, those words have the happening in them, the speaking thing in them, and they are released upon our circumstance by Jesus Christ, the high priest, of our confession, Hebrews 3:1. Now, the high priest of our confession goes before the Father in the heavenly tabernacle. And what does he say to the Father? Our confession. He is high priest of our confession, of our faith-filled words. Now, faith-filled words fulfill the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And what is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ of Romans 7 and 8? It's the law of grace, God's favor and power and love and victory and perfection of you and me, which we cannot earn nor deserve. And if we understand that God hears Jesus' confession, that is, God the Father hears the confession of Jesus, our high priest, God the Son, and that fulfills the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the law of faith, the law of grace, then what happens is Father God, being a faith God, is satisfied and gratified with our demonstration of faith, and that releases the grace from the throne upon us, upon our circumstances, to effect a change, a transformation in our hearts and in our lives. And so, it happens when we walk and talk in faith. It is a prayer of agreement. And by the way, that principle of the rhema release by the double-mouthed sword, that is, that principle of Jesus speaking it to us and in us, and then us, quickened by the Spirit, speaking it forth from our spirit as the second mouth of the double-mouthed sword. That is a prayer of agreement due to covenant between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, between me and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that happening is in the speaking. And that is the reason why prayer is answered. That is the reason why prophecy comes true. Because rhema means the happening. And the faith-filled words, words which are seed, which come out of your mouth, backed by faith, energized by faith, have the power within them as seeds. They have the power within them of spiritual realization. That is the ability to come to pass, to happen. That's why the word rhema means the happening, the speaking thing. Because that which is spoken is inherently possessed within the seed, which are the words that come out of our mouth. Otherwise, prayer would not be answered. Prophecy would not come true. But that's the reason that it does. So what you need is faith, even mustard seed faith, not a lot of faith. God will meet you at your own level of faith, and then you need a faith confession. And I hear people say, well, but I need more power to believe, to trust. If only I had more power. No, you don't need power. You have power. Okay, 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God comes in power, not in words. And the word for words there is logos. See, the power is not in the logos, the written word of God, but when that written word is quickened to you by the Holy Spirit so that you see the spiritual realization behind what is written on the page, and the Holy Spirit quickens it to you, it becomes the rhema word, and the rhema word is the word of power, and the kingdom is in the rhema word of God. Now, it says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Notice what it says. See, it doesn't say I have to pray for more power. I don't feel I've got enough power. I need more power. No, it says here in Romans 1:16, you need the gospel. The gospel is not only the gospel of salvation, the salvation message, be saved by grace through faith in Christ, God's favor through trusting him. No, the gospel is the entire Word of God, the entire message, the entire teachings of the Word, called the Gospel, which means the Good News. Jesus has good news for you. Jesus has good news for me. And that good news is in the Word of God. And so when we say, if only I had more power, you don't get more power by praying for it. You get more power by getting into the Gospel, the Word of God. It says, it is the power of God unto salvation. The word salvation not only means being saved from your sin, it also means healing and deliverance. Do you have a need for healing? Do you have a need for deliverance? You need to take possession of what the Word of God says about you, what the Word of God promises you, what the Word of God promises to bring forth in your life by your faith, your trust, and your faith confession. So you say, but Bern, I don't know where the promises are. Where are the promises in the Bible? How do I know what promises to appropriate, to take possession of, to confess over me, my life, my situation, in order to change things? How do I find the promises in the Bible? Well, the answer to your questions is simply this. Everywhere in the Bible you see the word if, God always follows it with a promise. So you can identify the promises of God in the Scriptures simply by looking for the word if. And when you find that word, you can see what it says and you can find the promises that apply to your life circumstance or situations and stand on those promises and faith confess those promises over your circumstances to effect a change in your life. And in Romans 1:17, speaking of the gospel being the power of God unto salvation, it continues, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith is trust, trust on Jesus Christ. Notice what it says. It is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. In other words, from testing to testing. God has a way of revealing his righteousness by the word, by the gospel. And he will do it by your trust on him. For each testing, faith to faith, trust to trust. Now in Romans 1:20 we read, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Speaking of unbelievers. Now here is the point. All that is invisible, all that is invisible from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. In other words, God says, I have made myself known through my creation. Now, if you look at the creation and you look at seeds, you know that there is a law in operation called seed time and harvest time. Seed time and harvest. And in seed time and harvest time, you have to plant a seed. That's your faith-filled words. But seeds have to be watered in order to germinate, in order to sprout and take root. The Bible in Ephesians 5 says the church is washed in the water of the word. In other words, the word of God is the water. Your faith confession is the seed. So once you plant your seeds of faith confession, start speaking over your circumstances faith-filled words that God has written in the Scripture, and word those faith-filled words of the Scripture over your circumstances. You're watering your seed. Seed that is planted on good ground that is in your heart by trust will bring forth a harvest of change. But the things of the kingdom are for the people of the kingdom. And let me ask you a question. Are you in the kingdom of God? And if you're not in the kingdom of God, why not? If you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, why not? The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means man has a problem with no way of going to the Father or heaven unless he is justified
by a Savior, a Deliverer, and that Deliverer is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is willing and able to get involved in your life no matter what your circumstances are, if you will simply let Him in. Will you let Him in today? Will you pray this prayer with me aloud right now and let Jesus change your life? He's in the business of changing lives today, just as He was 2,000 years ago. And the evidence that He is real is the evidence of changed lives of so many Christians around you who testify to the very fact that it is true. Pray this prayer with me aloud now, will you?
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, non-denominational, Spirit-filled church. Get yourself water in Holy Spirit baptized. Get yourself into Christian community where people can teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, and your changed life has already begun. Well, what else does the Bible tell us about changing our lives? Let's talk more about it next week. God bless you.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.